That's what the church has been called to do, and that's what you as an individual, as a born-again believer, and especially if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, that you ought to be about the Father's business and put the devil in his place. Dehorn him. Take the devil by the horns. Now, I know that's just a metaphor, kind of. You know, the devil doesn't have any horns. You don't know that, don't you? He doesn't run around with a red underwear and a pitchfork and some horns. Your husband may, but he doesn't. That's just something we've come up with. But in that metaphor, he does have horns, and horns hurt. We know the devil sometimes is, not sometimes, he's on full-time employment. He works every day to steal, kill, and to destroy. So don't let him do it. I want you to go with me to the book of James, chapter 4. And when we went through the book of James, I did this expositionally. And we understood the complete meaning of it, but still there's a principle here. I mean, it is what it is, and it says what it says. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. So there's a condition there. You got to come near to God. God's going to come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, this is really a gospel call. It's really an evangelistic tone to it, because he's talking about those that are not saved, but I'm talking to those that are today, okay? So we're going to apply this to our lives. And it says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You may be seated. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But first you got to know, you got to draw near to God. And it's not an automatic thing. Somebody said, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I got problems, and I know that God's going to help me with it. God's going to help you with it, but you've got to draw near to God. See, that's where we lack sometimes. We just think that everything's set on automatic, and it's not automatic, because there's some things you got to do. Sometimes you got to put legs on your own prayer. Sometimes you got to put hands on your prayer. Sometimes you got to go to work for God. Somebody say amen. And if you think the devil's just going to get out of your life because he's the devil and you're a Christian, you got another thing coming. He is going to steal, kill, and destroy if you don't draw near to God. And so I would beckon you this morning, everyone that hears me, to draw near to God. Don't let a day go by. Don't let a week go by. Don't let a month go by. Don't let a lifetime go by that you have not drawn near to God. But you need to draw near to God. And when you draw near to God, guess what? You get the power for the hour, and you have the strength to stand when everybody else has fallen down. Praise God. Because, you know, life has its issues. Have you learned that in life? Man, y'all are awful quiet this morning. I don't know what the deal is. I was going to preach short, but I'm going to preach as long as I can till you amen me. Amen. Life has its issues. It's got its problems. And sometimes we give place to the devil. No, I'm a Christian preacher. I know, but sometimes you give place to the devil. Sometimes you let the devil work in your life. I mean, look at the Apostle Peter. I mean, Jesus said, Peter, after he said, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, man, I want to tell you something, Peter. Flesh and blood have not revealed that unto you, but my Father in heaven. And I'm not going to call you, I'm going to call you Peter. He didn't call him Peter first. It was Simon. Yes, thank you. For all you Bible scholars, appreciate you. Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter. Rock. A rock. Oh, man, now he's lifted up. But in the next few verses, he says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Wait a minute, I'm the rock. Get behind. Why? Because at that moment in his life, he was giving place to the devil, because God had a plan, and that plan has been worked out. Thank God it's the story of Calvary, and Jesus died for our sins. But if it's left up to Peter, well, Peter would have just said, no, Lord, let's do a different route. Let's go a different way. That's why he said, get behind me, Satan, because Satan did not want Jesus to go to the cross, because he knew if Jesus went to the cross, it was over for him as far as the sin atonement. And so he completely tried to get him to route around it, die another way. But let me tell you something. Jesus was on his Father's appointment, and he made it on time and in time, and he was crucified on the cross, and he died for our sins. But you see, at that moment, Satan was using Peter. And sometimes we allow Satan to use us. Sometimes we give place to the devil. Sometimes in our own lives, when we are born again and we love the Lord with all of our heart, we still give place to the devil. There's a crime that sometimes people commit and they don't really even do anything. It's called aiding and abetting a criminal. That means if the bad guy comes to your house and you know he's in your house, and they come knock on your door and say, we're looking for so-and-so, and you say, I don't know where he's at. Could he be in my attic? No. Could he be hiding under the bed? No. Could he be, you know, somewhere? No, he's not in my house. Haven't seen him for weeks. And you just sat and was drinking coffee with him till the police opened up or knocked on the door, and you opened up the door. And now you don't know him. It's called aiding and abetting the criminal, okay? And you know what? You can go to jail for that. And lots of folks are aiding and abetting the devil, if you please. You see, the devil's come in, and we won't give him up. We won't turn him in. I mean, we're just not going to rat him out. I wouldn't rat him out. I'm not that kind of guy. You know, that's the person I am. Let me tell you something. The devil means nothing for you, wants nothing out of you except your soul. And you better start ratting the devil out, and you better start putting the devil in his place. And you better be taking the devil by the horns and say, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, it is written, get thee behind me, Satan, and I want you to know, when you draw near to God, God will draw near to you, and the devil will be resisted. Somebody say amen. You see, aiding and abetting the criminal, that's giving place to the devil. You give place to the devil when you when you know, you come to church and you got this attitude, well, you know, it's sure dead this morning. And I don't know, I don't think there's ever going to be a move of God in the church. You're giving place to the devil. You're kind of giving place to the devil this morning because you ain't amening me. Let me just go a little bit further. You're giving place to the devil when you fuss and fight with your husband or your wife. And you know, a lot of arguments end right here on our parking lot. Oh, I know y'all getting quiet on that. I mean, look like the devil when you're talking to her, acting like the devil, and then come in here. Oh, prepare me to be a sanctuary. But you just got through fussing and fighting, looking like the devil, acting like the devil. You call her names you wouldn't say in here. It's going to be tough, but it's okay. You're giving place to the devil. You see what I'm saying? Because you can't pray and ask God for anything as long as you're fighting with your husband and your wife. And you should have went to the marriage retreat with us. Because, man, if you'd have went to the marriage retreat with us, you'd have learned a lot of things. Because I did. I'm a better husband today. Amen. Don't say nothing. Today. You give place to the devil when you come to church and say, well, you know, the preacher's too loud, or he's too long, or he's too got too many fancy suits. Or, you know what I'm saying? Just always, something's wrong. Always complaining. Always up in the air. Always got a problem. I want you to know, that's not the problem. The preacher's not too loud and the preacher's not too long. It's just that the preacher's too truth. too true. Amen. He tells the truth, and you can't handle the truth sometimes. But you need to say sometimes amen, or sometimes you need to say oh me. And if the Lord gets to knocking on your door, you need to say, Lord, I'm opening it up and I'm going to let you in. You can change the situation, but you've got to draw near to God. You're giving place to the devil. When you tell your kids you're good for nothing, you never have been good for anything, and you're good for nothing now, and you never be good. Let me tell you, that's giving place to the devil. You ought to see something in your children, and if you're a real parent, you will. Even though they're down, they're not out. Even though they may not be where they need to be, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm going to believe God. I don't care where they're at and what they're doing. There is a living God in heaven that will invade their lives if mom and daddy will get down on their knees and say, there's a God, and I believe that God answers my prayer. If you'll pray through God, we'll answer your prayer. He'll get a hold of them. He'll reach them. But you give place to the devil when you give up. You give place to the devil when you sit in front of your television set or your computer, and for hour after hour after hour, and you watch the sewage that is flushed out. I don't even have to say nothing about that. You know what I'm talking about. And we do that. We do that. We give place to the devil. And I'm going to say even the good things. There's some good things on TV. There's some good things on YouTube. Well, if y'all going to sit down, I'm going to sit down, man. Yeah, there is. There really is some good things. But when we spend hour after hour after hour after hour, and let me tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning, okay? After hour, and we just keep watching from one thing to the next, and then we look at our lives and we say, have we really prayed today like we should have prayed? Have we really sought the Lord? Have we really got in and dug in and studied the Word? We'll spend hours upon hours watching a bunch of stuff on YouTube, a bunch of stuff on Netflix, but yet we won't spend a minute in the Bible. Only time we open our Bibles is when we come to church. And brother, we don't even do that anymore because we got it up on the screen. But nevertheless, that's sometimes the only time we read the Bible. How many knows you can't put the devil in his place if you don't have the Word of God abiding in you? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But you've got to get the Word in you. If you get the Word in you, then you can put the devil in his place. Otherwise, you're like the seven sons of Sceva. In the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, I cast you out. And the devil raised an eyebrow, sharpened his horns, and said, whoa, wait just a minute, Jack. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, seven sons of Sceva. I wonder who that Sceva guy was. Do you know who he was? I don't know who he was. Okay, forget it. Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who in the devil are you guys? I never seen you ever. I don't know who you are. And the Bible said the devil came out of that man, but didn't come out for the right reasons. Came out and literally whipped those boys down the street. You say, how'd that happen? Let me tell you something. There's a real devil in this world. And I don't care if they try to hide it, try to lie to you. There is a living, live devil that's on this planet. And I want you to understand, if you don't have the power to cast him out, he can cast you out. If you don't have the power to put him in his place, he'll put you in your place. That's why you've got to get enough power from the power of God and stand. And as you stand, God will stand with you. And you can't resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, you see, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Some people are aiding and abetting a criminal. You just let him, you know, get in for a little while, and then you let him get out. But that's not good in his place. But but some people have let him take up residence. It's like the lady used to sing that song. Don't let the devil ride with you. Don't let the devil ride with you. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. So don't let the devil ride with you. Amen. And I want you to know, if you let him get in your house, you think he's resident today. No, he'll be president tomorrow. He'll sit on the throne. He'll dictate what you do. He'll lead you by your flesh. You'll live like him and you'll live like the devil. And you'll keep coming to church and lifting your hands and praising God. It's not enough to just praise God in the house of God. You've got to resist the devil every day that you live. Because if you're not resisting the devil, the devil doesn't quit and he doesn't give in. He's not a quitter. Amen? Man, I'm going to have to get us up out of here, baby. Where you at? Is she even in here? Oh, there she is. I should have seen that light of glow around her. Should have went to the place with us yesterday, man. She got a new husband. The new and improved Guy Parrish. She likes him too. Amen. But we learn, well, sometimes we give place to the devil in our own homes. But what I'm saying, I'm going to have to get to the point because, man, y'all, I'm preaching and I don't know if you're listening, but I'm going to get to my point here. And that is this, that you have to take this thing by the horns. Okay? How are you going to do that? Well, let me tell you. Three quick things. 3 points. 3 points, poem, and we go. Okay. How to take the devil by the horns and drive him out. Number one, you've got to live a positive faith. You know, we've been fussing right now. Let's go talk to the attorneys. Let's talk about divorce. Don't talk about divorce. Talk about a resurrection in your marriage, okay? Talk about a miracle. Talk about a living God that can put families back together again. Talk about a living God that can do all things because he is God. You've got to live in faith. And if you don't live in faith, you live in doubt. And you live in doubt, guess what? Your mouth is going to follow your faith. Now, you know I'm not one of those positive confessor guys. I believe in a positive confession, don't get me wrong. But I don't believe that your words have power to create things in the supernatural. That's not in the Bible. Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. The Bible says that the power of death and life are in your words. That's right, he's talking to the king. King said, kill him or let him live. Okay? The king did, and it also has an implication. Yeah, your words mean it just creates an atmosphere. I came in here and told you, Mary, we're down today. Look at all the where's everybody at? We're just gonna have to hold the fort this morning, church. I mean, we had a bigger crowd last week. And I mean, it's just kind of more, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, that's the power of my words right there. But you know what? I don't see that. I don't see that when I come. I don't see the empty pews. I see the living people that have come to get filled with Jesus and get filled with faith and power and anointing to go out of here. And if people wanted to sit in or sleep in, that's their own fault. I didn't come to preach to them. I come to preach to you and to tell you it doesn't matter how many pews are empty. It doesn't matter how lean the pocketbook is. It doesn't matter if the things in your life are against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? You've got to have a positive faith. Amen. Well, my kid's a demon. Takes one to know one. Amen. They're your offspring. Go figure. But seriously, if you speak those kind of things, you start believing. And again, I'm not a positive. Those guys are wrong. I mean, they've made it into a religion, into a theology. But there is something about being positive. You think it'd work at my house? I told my wife. No, but. Yeah, you trying to get me in trouble is what she's trying to do. You got any extra shoes? Because I might need to walk a long way today. I told my wife, hey, baby, you know what? You ain't looking as good as you used to look. No, I'm just like, whoa. Don't you get thinking I said that. I didn't say. I'm using this as an illustration. No, I'm not that dumb. Amen. Because she's looking better than she ever had to me. I'll be honest with you. And I'm not just saying it in here. I tell her every day of her life. Okay. And baby, you know, I just want you to know, I don't like, you know, this about it. I don't like that about it. I don't like, and you know what? You just ain't the same, that you're not like you used to be. Like my friend told me, was eating at Chili's, and man, he was eating at Chili's, trust me. He loves to eat. And he began to complain about his wife. And I know I probably told you this, but it'll do you some good this morning. And he started complaining about his wife, the size of her dresses. I'll leave it there. Man, she sure has put on a lot of weight since we got married. And boy, he was just saying all that. I looked at him, looked like he was 9 months pregnant. And I said, brother, let me tell you something. I took up for her. I said, you don't look like you used to look neither. Where's all your hair? Amen. And what's that belly, okay? You ain't no catch. Amen. You don't look that good either. So give her a little bit of break. You think she's going to look like, she should look like a Barbie doll, but you don't look like no Ken. Amen. You don't look, you're not Mr. Universe, what I'm saying. Get some reality here, man. But you got to still speak positive. Baby, I love you. You sure are fine, baby. I'm just continuing the little marriage deal we did this weekend. For those that didn't get there, you're looking good, baby. That right there is the prettiest Nana in the world. That builds her up. I get the benefit. Praise God. And when you build one another up, you get the benefit. Well, I just don't know about our church. Seemed like, you know, I know this family left and they were mad. They can get glad just like they got mad. Hello? I can't help it. Nobody can help it. There's just some people going to get mad. I've got some right here now. I'm just saying, well, you just can't keep talking that stuff. You got to say, thank God. Thank God for a living God, because he is God. And I want you to know there's a spiritual warfare going on. And I want you to understand, you got to fight this good fight of faith. But you got to have faith to fight the good fight of faith. And if you have faith to fight the good fight of faith, you can draw near to God. God will draw near to you. And when God draws near to you, if you walk in the faith of God, there's not a devil or demons anywhere that can stand in your way, because he is God in you. You've got to have some positive faith. Amen. What if every time I got up and played the violin, things are bad. I had the worst week of my life. And, oh, I was trying to lose weight. And I picked up 10 pounds. And oh, my boss is angry at me, and my wife, she ain't talked to me in 2 days. Well, get out in front of the TV, and she might talk to you a little bit, okay? She has been talking to you, just hadn't heard her. I'm saying, if that's all you ever do, that's all you'll ever have. Amen. It's not always easy. Your faith's going to be tried. It's going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted, believe it or not. And hell is going to try to assault you from every side. But what war has ever been fought that the enemy didn't shoot back? Hello? Amen. Well, a Bruce Lee movie just came into my mind. Enter the Dragon. When old Solo got the board in front of Bruce Lee and said, bam! Board went each way. Bruce Lee just stood there and didn't blink. He said, boards don't hit back. And brother, then it was on. And Bruce Lee unleashed on him a fury. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. The enemies, if they're not shooting at you, it's not the enemy. Understand that. Boards don't fight back. And the devil, he will fight back. And he'll come against your life. If you don't have any faith, then he's not worried about you. If you're not really doing anything from God, he's okay, man. Just get in the wagon. Keep your feet hung out and just roll on down and just slow everything down. Because he's not worried about you. But if you'll start living a positive faith, if you'll start getting up every morning and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to be strengthened in my spirit, man. You will begin to grow. And as you grow, you'll be able to have more faith. Amen. Because see, the devil's an intimidator. The Bible says a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he first roars. That roar in the jungle is an intimidation move. Trying to intimidate everybody in the jungle. I'm coming through. I'm the king of the jungle. The devil's roaring today. And man, people are hiding in their holes. People are running in their churches, shutting the doors and locking them. Well, there's a reason we do lock ours. But anyhow, it's in case the devil shows up physically. Amen. Like Peter Cartwright said, the old camp meeting preacher years and years and years ago, back when I don't think America was even America. I don't know, but it was in the colonies, I believe, or maybe it was after. I don't know my timeline, but one day this guy come in this drunk, and he started raising all kinds of trouble in church, and the preacher was preaching along there, Peter Cartwright, and finally he had enough of that, and he put down his notes and Bible. Don't think they had a microphone in those days, and he went back to the back. He got that guy by the nap of the neck, the seat of the britches, and he threw him out of that old brush arbor and kicked him as he went. And he got back up there to preach again. Never missed a lick. But he told them before he went back preaching. He said, folks, you may not understand that. But sometimes you just got to cast the devil out physically. Amen. Get him by the horns and cast him out. He will intimidate you. One day. My daughter, when she was little, came to me and said, Daddy, 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 Daddy. She was in tears. She said, Daddy, I was in your office, and there's an octopus in your office. I said, do what? Daddy, there's an octopus in your office. I'm scared. I'm glad she's not here today. Man, my family hates this when I tell on them. They'll get me back. And I said, baby, it's okay. There's no octopus. Daddy, I tell you, octopus. She's scared to death. So I said, oh, come on, baby, let's go find that octopus. And I walked around the office and said, baby, say, look, there's no octopus in this office. And Shante said, no, Daddy, it's right there. And I got down, I looked, you know what it was? It's a little spider. And if you'd have blown it up 10,000 times, it would have looked like a big something out of 20,000 leagues under the sea. I mean, it really did look like an octopus, and I understood where she's coming from. But what happened was she saw that bigger than it was. The Bible said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And you know what we do? We don't magnify him. You can't make God bigger than he is. That's not what it means. And I've told you that before. It just simply means you've got to see God bigger than you see him. But I want you to know, we do magnify the devil a lot of times. And we make him bigger than he really is. Because he can only do so much. He can only go so far. He can only say so much. And then there comes that time that the living faith of God that's built on this word stands up on the inside of you. And says, devil, it is written, get thee behind me, Satan. And guess what? If you'll resist him, he will flee from you. He can only go so far. Right down the hill from my office there was my first church. Right down the hill was the brother and sister Johnson, older couple in our church. And I used to go visit them a lot because they were really sickly. And the first time I walked up there, I was walking up there and all of a sudden this big, I don't know what kind of mongrel it was, big dog, comes running up out of the bushes. And man, he was on in the attack mode. And I just stood there, man. I didn't know what to do. I froze, to be honest with you. And he come right at me. And about that time, I realized something. Bam! He turned upside down and fell down. I got the power! I'm just kidding. Come on. What was that? How can that? He had a chain on. Didn't see the chain. He could only go so far. And he was vicious. I think it was a Rottweiler. Rottweiler, thank you. No, I do have theologians in here, but I have veterinarians too. And so, you know what? After that, I never worried about it again. Matter of fact, I got to be honest with you. I'm a little hungry. And I would taunt him as I went by. You can't get me. Man, he'd try to get at me. But he'd come so far, and I'd love to see him when he hit the end of that chain, man. It was a chain, okay? I want you to understand that. It wasn't a rope. And that's how big he was. And he'd flip up, bam, back down. I said, do it again. Every time I went by, I just laughed at him. Because I knew he could only go so far. I'm telling you, there's only so far the devil can go in your life if you just understand. Now, if you give place to him, you'll walk into his territory. You'll get to where he's at. But if you'll stay right there in the secret place of the Most High God, if you'll dwell under the covering of his wings, if you'll trust God in the midst of the storm, he will cover you, and the devil can only go so far. Don't let him intimidate you. Amen. Amen. Oh, my word. You know, when they came back from the promised land, we can't do it. We can't possess it. We can't whoop the devil. Joshua and Caleb said, baloney. Baloney, Bologna. I told you I'm going to preach to you. I'm sorry. Because you see, he said, that's not what God said. Oh, but don't you know, preacher, we're grasshoppers compared to what? Compared to them? Yeah, we are grasshoppers. But why don't you start comparing them to Jesus Christ? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you compare the devil to Jesus, that's not really a real good comparison, because the devil has been put in his place at Calvary, and thank God he has. Somebody say amen. If we go around and say, well, we can't build a church, we can't afford a new youth center, we can't afford anything, because we ain't got no money, we can't fill up our empty pews, we can't deliver people from their habits, we're just holding our own, preacher, we can hardly get by with what we got, how in the world do you expect us to get any more than what we have? I say, oh man, put a sock in it, put a sock in it, okay? I want you to know that's enough to gag a maggot. I know that's not kosher, okay? But I'm telling you, it's the truth. I want you to understand that's not what the Word of God says. It says that the truth of God is real. And let me tell you something. Doubt never built a church. And doubt never cast out a devil. And doubt never did anything for God. Never set a captive free. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in God, in your system. Don't have faith in your program. Don't have faith in your abilities or your talents. Don't have faith in the people, but have faith in God. People may let you down, but God will never let you down. You've got to have faith in God. And I want you to know, if you live in faith, there's not a devil, there's not a bunch of devils that can keep any church from revival. You understand me? It does not matter what the circumstance is. If God is in it, the devil's up again it. Amen. I want you to know, it is the will of God to have revival in Muskogee. Did you know that? It is the will of God to have a revival in Life Point Church. It is the will of God that your family have a revival. And there's no city, including Muskogee, Oklahoma, that's out of range of a Holy Ghost revival. If God can just find a church that'll lay aside the formality and lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset them and begin to run and fight and resist the devil. I want you to know the devil cannot stand in our way. Number two, 3-point sermon. He got a lot of Pentecostal fire. Pentecostal fire. You see, that's our problem sometimes. We come here, that fire is a symbol of power. You understand that? I'm not going to go through all that again, but you know, fire is a symbol of power. And there's a lack of power in most churches today. We're trying to entertain people. We're trying to keep them, you know, occupied for a few hours so we can get their money. Amen. So we can build our kingdoms. And nothing's ever done for the kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. It's not my kingdom. It's not anybody's kingdom. It's the kingdom of God that we're supposed to be building. I'm not building an edifice for myself. I'm
not building a statue to worship me. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. I tell you, he is the one. And if you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you'll see God different than you've ever saw God. It'll change your perspective. Get on fire. Turn around, look at your spouse and say, get on fire, woman or man. Get on fire. Because the devil's out to, he's not out to hinder you. You know that? He's out to stop you. He don't want to hinder Life Point Church. He don't care about hindering us. He don't want to hinder the man of God in the pulpit. He's not so much interested in hindering revival or hindering growth or hindering your marriage or whatever you want to put in there. Put it in there. He wants to stop it. He wants to stop Life Point Church. He'd like to see these doors closed. He'd like to see us just shut down. Turn out the lights. The party's over. And just go home and just forget it. Better go. We gave it our best shot, man. No, we didn't give it our best shot because there's still a living God in heaven. And that living God in heaven's still on his throne. And don't you ever forget it. And if we could pray through like they pray through and get baptized in the Holy Ghost like they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I got news for you. There's not a devil in hell that can stand against us. And I don't know about you, but I've come too far to turn back now, be honest with you. I mean, my feet's already come through that muddy Jordan River, and I want you to know I'm on the other side, and I know there's a whole lot more in front of us that's behind us, and God has greater things in our future, and I want you to understand that you may have to wade through devil's hip deep to get to where you need to be, but if you'll light a Pentecostal fire and burn your way through, I want you, God will be with you, because he is God. Bible said you shall be endued with power from on high, endued with power. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. That word endued is a very interesting word in the Greek. It means to sink into. It means to sink into a clothing. What's that have to do with it? It has everything to do with everything. He said, be baptized. You shall be baptized and endued with power. You're gonna like sink into some clothing, because see, we got this analogy backwards. We think the Holy Ghost gets inside of us, and now we got power like Samson did. In the spirit, that is. If you really had that kind of power, where was you at work day? But it doesn't mean that. To sink into clothing. Like sinking into a pair of coveralls. Now you get the picture? You shall be endued with power. You're going to sink into the garment. That's what baptized means. You're going to be immersed. It's going to not just be in you, but it'll be all over you. And all of a sudden, just like sinking into some coveralls, all of a sudden, those arms, your arms become God's arms. And your tongue or your body becomes God's body. Your feet become God's feet. Your hands become God's feet, hands. You understand what I'm saying? When you sink into the garment, when you put him on, you got to put him on. That's why he said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, when the devil comes against you, put on the whole armor of God. Sink into this garment. Because I want you to understand, if you sink into the Holy Ghost, and let the Holy Ghost sink in you, if you'll put the Holy Ghost on and let him put you on, amen. I've got news for you. You'll become the hands of God. You'll become the feet of God. You'll become the voice of God. You will become what God wants you to become, because you've been endued with power. Amen, 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 amen. I'm going to have to close. I know, man, I ain't near finished. Oh, let's forget it. I don't know if I'm getting to my third point. Well, I'm going to get to it then, okay? But I ain't there yet. No, I'm not. I'm going to close here in just a minute. But back when I first got in law enforcement back in 1993, I was not an officer at the time. I was just a chaplain. And being a chaplain is what got me my feet wet in law enforcement. And so I started riding, and, you know, I was doing what a chaplain did. Scene of accidents. I've seen a lot of things. I see dead people. Amen. But one night was real late, and I was with an officer. Matter of fact, he was the officer who got saved in my church that got me into the chaplaincy. Brian Morris.
Me and Brian Morris were riding along. We're sitting there. All of a sudden, this guy blows through a stoplight. I mean, not a stop sign, excuse me. A stop sign. Brian said, man, we're going to pull him over. Let's go for it, man. We got after him. At that time, he was working with the gang unit, so I was riding with the gang unit and didn't know, but this guy was a gang member. We got up there, and I'm going to let you know, we were in, how can I say this? We were in the hood. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, we get out the car. Brian walks up to the window and recognizes him. His name was Willie. He looked at me and said, man, I know this guy. Man, I'm afraid he's going to give us some problems. Brian walked up to the window and said, listen, Willie, I want you to get out of your car. He said, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you get out of your car and you act up on me, you know, they can't do this anymore, I don't think, but he had a big flashlight. He said, I'm going to take this flashlight and I'm going to crack your skull. You understand me? He said, I mean it. If you get out of this car and you act up on us, I'm going to split your head wide open with this flashlight. I moved back behind the door. I'm just a chaplain, you know. And sure enough, he got out of the car, got him handcuffed. But by that time, everybody in the hood came out. Man, they were everywhere, and they were yelling, screaming obscenities at the police. And, man, I mean, I thought, man, this is not good. And then saw some bricks start flying, some bottles. I said, man, I think it'd be a time to saturate this place with our absence. How about you? Okay. I'm going to close with this because y'all ain't with me today. And so we finally got him in the car. Actually, we called another unit that had a cage. We put him in that car. And they rolled out, and we had to go down and book him in. And as we're driving down to book him in, I'm talking to Brian. Brian said, man, I know this guy right here. Man, I've had to fight this guy before. And he said, I tell you, I guarantee you, when we get to the jail, we are going to have to fight him. Now, take it, this guy was this tall, this big. He was a monster. Not only that, but he had been sprayed with pepper spray. And, man, it opened up his sinuses a bit. And, man, it was just, everything was just... Yeah, I'm closing here. And I said, you really think so? He said, brother, I'm telling you right now, when we take them handcuffs off, we're going to fight, man. The fight will be on. I said, really? Brown's about this tall, man. He's shorter than I was. Tough guy. But I'm thinking, man, this is Andre the Giant, man. I said, he's a big guy. He said, oh, I know, man. He likes to fight, too. I said, you really think when we get there, we're going to... I hadn't been a chaplain very long. I want you to know that. And I just, you know, I was kind of getting into some things. I you know, all I'd ever been was a preacher behind a pulpit. I didn't know those things went on like that. Except before I got saved, I was on the other side. So I kind of had a feeling what was going to go on. And so He said, yeah, we're going to have to fight him when we get there, I promise you, preacher. I looked at him. I said, Brian, let me tell you something. You got a mouse in your pocket? I said, you're the officer. I'm just the chaplain, man. You're going to fight him, knock him out, and I'll pray for him, okay? That's what we're going to do, amen. That's my plan, amen. But I want you to know, you will fight the devil, but it is a wee deal, okay? But let me tell you something. You're no match for the devil. The devil can chew you up and spit you out. But let me tell you something. He can't spit Jesus out. He can't spit the Holy Ghost out. He can't spit the Father out. He can do nothing. I want you to know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you don't have a fight in you, then you just might as well run to the house. But if you'll stand up, God will stand up with you. And I'm telling you, revival is right there. Come back to the instruments. Oh, you got power, you got power, you got power. You got power. It says here, notice. It says, they that believe shall cast out devils. They that believe shall, the literal translation is drive out demons. Now, drive doesn't mean lead. Not like a teacher said, come on, class, I'll lead you out to the playground. Come on, follow me, we're going. Everybody get in line, stay in line. Yeah, follow me. See, that's how we try to play the devil. We try to lead him out. We try to, you know, don't hurt me, Mr. Devil. Please follow me, please. You think he listens to that? You think that bothers him? It says, cast out devils. Drive out demons. You see, it's his business to devour folk. He's a roaring lion. No offense to the lion. That's an insult to the lion family. He's a rat. Much as I hate rats, that's an insult to the rats. He's a roach. I'm sorry, that's not politically correct, okay? Because that's kind of offensive. Forget about it. See, I don't really want to insult anything on this planet. And, you know, this is a creeping planet. Amen. So I wouldn't want to offend anything creeping on this planet. The Bible says all the things that creep. And so I could name him a lot of things and put him in a lot of categories. But I want you to know he's the creep of all creeps. Somebody say amen. I mean, creeps call him creep. And as a matter of fact, I want you to understand that he is under your feet. That's what it means to drive him out. You remember when Jesus went into the temple, did it twice. He went into the temple. He took a whip and he whipped them out. He drove them out. And that was a miracle in itself. And when we get to John, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. Because it's a divine miracle how he did that. But still yet he drove everybody out. He said, get out of here. Started kicking the money changers' tables over. Started making everybody get. Whipping them. Opening up the boxes. The doves are flying out. The sheep are going everywhere. Get out. Get out of my father's house. You know, he didn't go in there with a box of chocolates and some roses and said, would y'all please get up out of here because I love you. And with all my love, Jesus. And they read it. And man, they were so touched in their heart. They said, Jesus, we'll obey you. No, he had to drive them out. He had to get up in their face. And he had to say, get out. Get out of the house of prayer. Get out of my father's house. And sometimes you got to do the devil just like that. You need to pick up the word of God like a whip. And take the power of the whip of the word of God. And drive the devil out of the temple. You don't have to put up with the devil. You can take him by the horns and pull him out and drive him out and get him. Get out of my finance. Get out of my home. Get out of my church. Get out of my life. Get out of my job. I'm going to believe God and I'm going to light a fire and let it burn. Hey man, let me get my third point in and I'm done. I don't want to come back with this. Look for a promising future. Real short, okay? Look for a promising future. If you're sold on this pessimistic view that, well, the church is, it's over for us. Revival today is gone. It's over. It's the past. We can't ever have a move of God in life. Boy, man, we've seen our better days. No, we hadn't seen our better days. Our better days are just ahead. Man, God's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. And he's alive right now. Somebody say amen. And I want you to understand that Jesus says, look to the future. A lot of us are not looking to the future. We're looking back to the past. Amos chapter 9 and 13 said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the tender grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Now this is the promise of abundance in the new kingdom. But I do believe you can draw a principle out of it. And that is, that's how God works. Because this is a prophecy that deals with abundance. Now I'm not talking about your money right now. I'm not even talking about money, okay? Man, we need to get our mind off the dollar sign. Get our mind back on the sign of the cross.
Jesus, him crucified. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about how much money I make or how much you make or how much you've saved up. You saw the video a minute ago. Somebody said, how much did the rich man leave? He left everything. And when you die, you're going to leave everything too. That's a fact. Huh? You'll take nothing when you brought nothing in. You'll take nothing out. And so the real battle is not money. It's not even people or personalities. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the spiritual strongholds and putting the devil out. So this prophecy says it's going to come a time when the plowman's going to go to the field and he's going to be ready for the next year's planting. He's going to move into the field while the reaper's still reaping. It's been so much of a harvest, it's time to plant again, and now they're still reaping the harvest. I believe God is saying something here, and I believe it can be applicable to us right now. That he said it's going to be so abundant. There's a victory so big for you and me that's bigger than your human heart can ever imagine. This is the ultimate aim of God. And you got to see it, man. You got to understand. And I thank God there's a promise and future for Life Point Church. And I thank God there's a promise and future for outreach or outbreak ministry. I thank God for the kids' church and Life Point Kids. There's a future for every human being in this place because God is in your future. Yeah, he's in your past. He's in your present. But you got to look ahead and believe God for some impossible things. Thank God. There's a future. Future for our young people. Future for us old folks. Oh, yeah. I put myself in that category. I ain't gonna say nothing. Amen. I'm not gonna say a word, Leslie. I got to tell y'all something. I'm closing. Western Sizzling Friday night. I go in the order. Kevin and Leslie are right behind me. I ordered what I wanted to order. And she had the audacity to tell me, Pastor, you can get your senior citizen discount. Didn't tell you this, Kevin, but in my mind I thought, you need to put that woman in her place. Get behind me. I thought about it. I hadn't used it yet. So I decided that 1% Jew I got, I guess it kicked in because I'm cheap. Yeah, go ahead. And I told the girl behind the deal, I said, hey, let me ask you something, though. Do I really look like I can get a senior citizen discount? She said, I'm not going to answer that. Hello. So there's a future for us old folks. There's a future for the little ones. There's a future for the church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I want you to understand that if you'll start looking and believing, because see, I refuse to live in the halls of antiquity, and I refuse to talk about a God that used to God. We're not serving a used to God, brother. We're serving a God of today. We're serving a God that's alive right now. We're not serving a God that used to give revival and used to heal marriages and used to heal bodies and used to do things in the supernatural. He used to build churches and give anointing. He does it now. No matter who we are. But you got to put the devil out sometimes. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will. He'll flee from you. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray.